Second hour, the gang is all here on this Friday morning. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up in an hour. Who or what has made you mad? You're going to need to call in and tell us. Release so you can feel better going into the weekend before the big game on Saturday, Titans and Bengals. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away for the best you just made the list to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on April 28th. So that will be the prize for you just made the list. The Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on April 28th. Former Bengals wide receiver TJ Houshmandzadeh now joins us. We've had him on before. Really enjoy our chats with him. And after last weekend, TJ, I have to believe the long history of the Bengals franchise and them searching for that next playoff win, and it, you know, been since 1991, how nice it was, and especially do it at home, how cool that must have been in that market last weekend.
I'm sure for everyone, especially the fans that hadn't seen it, you just hear about it. It was refreshing. I figured when Burrow got drafted, I said on record he'd win a playoff game on his rookie contract. I didn't think it would be his second year. The Bengals have a really good team, and they're playing with a ton of confidence. So this game tomorrow is going to be very interesting.
What is his ceiling? Now, you played the position at wide receiver for a long time. You know what a quarterback is supposed to look like, especially the good ones. How good can he be?
I mean, everybody that pays attention and understands the game of football understands that the quarterbacks get way too much credit and they take way too much of the blame. When you have a supporting cast that can get it done, you're going to perform. And when you don't, they're going to say you don't have help. And so he has a ton of weapons. I mean, you look at his skill positions, you could argue it's the best in the league, you know, player for player. And so they're all young, and they all seem to be able to play injury-free. If you look, they didn't really have many guys go down with injuries, at least none of their skilled players. And so if they can stay healthy and stay together, they can be good for a long time.
What do you think of this? Because a lot of times we say, you just brought it up, a lot of these key important guys for the Bengals on rookie contracts, they're very, very young. Haven't been in this spot, first time. And so a lot of people will chalk it up, well, they don't have the experience, and you know, you're going to go with a more experienced team. But sometimes youthfulness, right, not knowing what to expect, maybe that can sometimes play in your favor. I've seen it work with other teams. I do wonder if you feel the same about this team. Sometimes it's better not to know all that. You just go into it, do your thing, and see what happens.
Always. The only way to get experience is to get it. You know, you see this, oh, we want to hire this coach. He doesn't have experience. Well, hire him. He'll get the experience. And so the only way to get it is to go out there and play. And them not having experience can be a good thing. You don't let the pressure get to you. You're just kind of going out there, approach it as another game. The Titans can play, but their best player hasn't played football in a long time, coming off an injury that I'm very familiar with because somebody that I'm close with just had that injury and missed 8 months. And here Henry coming back in 2.5.
So you know, is this a former athlete or that had the Jones fracture?
No, he's an athlete now.
Okay.
He's still an athlete.
And so 8 months?
And he came back and he was told it was healed. And he was working out and it was just sore. And he made it cut too hard. And bop, it went again. And he had been working out for about 2 months. But when he went really, really hard, like game speed, cracked it again. And so he ended up missing 8 months when it should have been supposedly a 2 to 3 month injury. And so I don't know how Henry's practicing. Is he really cutting with the force that you would in a game? But that outside part of that foot is a weight bearing. You just don't know what happens when you got to go into a game and you got to make a cut without thinking about your foot. Hope it doesn't happen. But he is their most explosive offensive player.
So you're skeptical of what, you know, how, I guess, you know, what is he, because we've been trying to figure out all week, is he going to return to form? Is it going to be the same Derrick Henry? Is it going to be easing him in? Is it going to look different? So it sounds to me like because of what you just laid out and knowing someone that's just gone through this, you're skeptical that he can be himself, the same guy that we've been accustomed to?
Yeah, and you got to think. I'm sure he's been doing rehab on an underwater treadmill and Alter-G just for conditioning. What type of shape are you in? When you have a foot injury, you're not really able to run and be in the type of shape you need to be. And so when did he amp that up? Just the conditioning aspect of it. Mentally, he's been practicing and you're cutting, but nobody practices at the intensity that you're going to play at. You just don't have that adrenaline. And so I'm eager to see, because if Henry is Henry, we got a hell of a game on our hands.
TJ Houshmandzadeh is with us, former NFL wide receiver. So along the lines with Henry, TJ, he hurt the foot on turf in Indianapolis, and you know that was something that we were all talking about, you know, in week 18, if he was going to come back for the last game to play on the turf in Houston. Obviously the Titans have natural grass. Is that something that you think about? Is there a big difference in the two if you're coming back from an injury like that on whether you're playing on grass or turf?
It could be, but you guys got to remember, I'm old enough to where I played on AstroTurf. And so when they came out with the turf, when they play on the turf they play on now, when that came out, I loved it. Like, I loved it. It was just so much better. And so if you're asking somebody, I didn't have a problem playing on turf. I thought it was the best thing. I actually preferred it over the natural grass. But, you know, a lot of guys nowadays, they don't like it. Guys are putting their foot in the ground with more power and explosiveness than ever before, and so it doesn't give as much as natural grass. And so I can see that. You would rather play on something natural than something that's made. But this game, I mean, it's simple for the Bengals. It's simple, but it's so hard. You know the Titans want to run the ball. Can you stop it? And it's so simple, but stopping it is harder than it sounds.
So as you can imagine, TJ, we've talked about Julio Jones a lot this year, that, you know, an elite receiver, future Hall of Famer, has a tremendous career in Atlanta. He comes over here to Tennessee, and he's battled injuries pretty much the entire season. His last game of the regular season was his best game of the year, finally scores a touchdown. You've been in the situation where you spent most of your career in one place, you leave, you go somewhere else. How big of a pressure is that to make that change? And when you watch Julio now, what do you see from what you saw in his career in Atlanta?
Obviously, when you start to have injuries as you get older, and Julio's still young enough where he can be that dude, it's not like he, especially with the way practice is nowadays. Like, God, I don't know how Vrabel does it, but he's a player. I'm sure he takes care of the guys. Practice is not what practice was when I was playing. It's not as strenuous. Julio can still play. He's just had those muscle injuries that have knocked him out. And when you're Julio and you go to a team, I'm with the Falcons for so long, okay, now I'm going to play with the Titans. You want to show them the Julio that they seen on TV, that I'm still that guy. And I'm sure he did that right away in practice. Hasn't been able to do it for whatever reason. The Titans are a run-first team. And then A.J. Brown is the number one option. Julio's going to come in as the number two option. And so there's so many balls to go around. A.J., with him being as young as he is, should be the number one option. Julio just has to be able to stay healthy, because when he's on the field, you have to account for him. You can't just say, oh, that's just another guy out there, because you do that, he could single-handedly win that game.
Yeah, you mentioned A.J. Brown needing to be the number one receiver. That's one thing that I've brought up this week of, you know, his playoff career, albeit a short playoff career, he hasn't been that great. I mean, he hasn't – his numbers are not very good. So what do you need to see differently from him? What does he need to do differently to try and show out for the Titans and prove that he truly is a number one receiver?
I mean, it can be – you point to his – numbers not being what they are, but if you look into it, how many targets is he getting in these games? Are they targets where he can actually make a play, that he can make a difference? I mean, you can look at numbers and it can be so skewed because, oh, the ball is thrown to AJ, but it's really, that's not a catchable ball, but that's a target. And so they need to get him involved early if they want to win. You know, you're going to get single high safety. The Bengals have to put eight in the box. And that's why I said simple, but Can Tannehill get him the ball? Can AJ and Julio beat the Bengals corners on a consistent basis? Can they block Trey Hendrickson? Can they hold up front? Simple game, hard to do.
We're talking to TJ Husmasada. TJ, I want to ask you, too, there's no doubt if you give Joe Burrow the time, he is going to carve you up down the field with their weapons. I'm curious of your observation of the evolution of their offensive line. It's easy to see the stats for the full season, 51 sacks. How much improvement do you think they've made since the beginning of the season? And what's your thought about the matchup with the Titans front four?
The Titans front four can go. And this game will be won or lost. Whoever offensive line plays the best, that team will win the game. Or you can say whichever defensive line plays the best. The game will be won or lost up front. But with the Bengals, they've had injuries up front all season. I mean, it's been this guy's at right guard, this guy's at left guard, this guy's at right tackle, this guy's right. They've been churning to musical chairs up front outside of left tackle and, I believe, center. And so Joe has good pocket awareness, good pocket presence, knows when to step up, knows when to slide. He does a good job of that. But it's only so much you can do when the turnover and guys aren't on the same page. The Titans are good up front. Vrabel is probably the most underrated coach in the league because he never gets the credit he deserves. Oh, it's Bill Belichick, it's Mike Tomlin, it's Andy Reid, it's Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. You're like, damn, Vrabel is over there getting it done every single year. He just doesn't get the credit. And so those guys up front with the Titans can really play. And if the Bengals don't do a good job of neutralizing them, this game will get ugly and ugly early.
Mm. One stat that has just been eye-popping for me, especially the way the Bengals attack down the field, they have not turned the ball over since week 14. How do you explain that? Is that and would you be a little bit worried about that if you're the Bengals? That, hey, you know, it's hard to just have zero turnovers for a month or 2 months.
I wouldn't be worried about it. I mean, the quarterback touches the ball every snap. You trust them to make the right decision. The receivers have done a good job of going up and getting those 50-50 balls. I mean, you can go back to games late in the season. He threw the ball up in coverage. Receivers went and made the play. And so, you know, it's like, oh, don't throw that old great throw type of thing. Because his receivers, T. Higgins, Chase, Tyler Boyd, Azuma, the tight end, they're making plays. Some of those balls are 50-50 balls, and they're coming down with it, or they're not letting it be intercepted. And so, would I be concerned as a coach? No. We all know you turn the ball over in the playoffs, you're probably going to lose. And so it can be third and 17 and you're on your 40-yard line, out of field goal range or whatever it is. You turn the ball over on a deep pass, it's a punt. And so all turnovers aren't turnovers, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Give us your – before we let you go, give us your impression of Zach Taylor. What are his strengths? He's kind of a – you know, low-key from afar, he's not this charismatic personality. He hasn't been doing it that long, but just quietly, he's built the Bengals up from a team that struggled badly last year to here they are in the divisional. So what do you like about him?
Players, coach, they seem to like him. They want to play for him. 2 years ago, they were 2-14, worst team in football in their divisional round now. And so you got to give him his credit because had they sucked, he would be fired by now. And so you look at a team that had the number one pick 2 years ago. Who's done this? I mean, you just go through the last 10 years. Which coach has had the number one pick and 2 years later has his team in the divisional round of the playoffs? And so you have to give them this credit. They believe in them offensively. They know what they're doing. They know what they are. They know who they want to be. And the key is defensively. They just really turned it around defensively. I'm concerned that Ogunjobi isn't playing tomorrow. But you got DJ Reader, good thing. You got Hendrickson back. They're good on the back end with Jesse Bates leading them. Tomorrow should be a fantastic game. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, Zach Taylor is much like Vrabel. Doesn't get the credit they deserve.
TJ, as we wrap this up, I know that you're part of a podcast called Money Grab, a part of Cousin Sal's Extra Points Podcast Network. Tell us a little more about that because we do talk a lot of sports betting on this show.
Oh, man, we just kind of pick games every week. It's pretty much what it is. Real self-explanatory. we go through games every week, and we just pick who we believe we're going to win, who we're going to believe is going to lose. And it's always with the spread. And so it's not just, oh, I picked them to win. Everything is against or with the spread.
Okay.
What's your lock this weekend? It's the one you love.
You know what? You guys really want to know?
Oh, boy.
I do.
Really? Going there? Are you going there?
I'm going to give you – I'll tell you all four picks. Last week I went 5-1 against the spread.
Okay.
And so I had all home teams, so obviously I lost with the Niners and Cowboys.
Yep.
And so this week I got the Bengals, I have the Bills, I have the Packers, I have the Rams. Those are my four picks, all against with the points. I get points on all of them except the Packers. I'm giving up 5.5.
So why does everybody picking the Bills, why do you think Buffalo is going to go in to KC and take care of business?
The Bills have a top five offense. The Bills have a top five defense. Only team in the National Football League that can say so. And so when you can stop a team and you can put points up at will, that's my reasoning. I like the way they can play complementary football, to be honest with you. The Chiefs get going when Travis Kelce gets going. You go back to that game against the Steelers. That game was nip and tuck, and then Kelce started going off. The Chiefs took off. And so McDermott and Leslie Frazier on that defense side of the ball for the Bills, they're just really good coaches, man. And it's what I said earlier, top five offense, top five defense. Nobody else in football can say that.
This was really good stuff, other than your one pick. I think you're going to go 3-1 this week. I really feel good about your picks, but I think you're going to drop one of them. But, hey, in all seriousness, thanks for doing this. This was really, really good. It should be a fun weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, you guys take care, man. Enjoy the games this weekend, fellas.
All right, that is TJ Houshmandzadeh. Good stuff from him.
That was good.
Yeah, we can talk about that on the other side. Some things that he said, and, of course, as you can imagine, one thing that he brought up that I was like, whoa, I set up in a hurry. So we'll discuss some of that on the other side as you listen to Darren Donica Chase.
Hang on. It's your favorite part of the show.
Oh, is it Blue Chew time?
It's time.
Yes.
It's time. You sat up in your chair, so I thought you were, you know, ready for it. So here we go. I know sometimes this is tough to talk about, but I have some things that can help you. So, guys, I need you to pay attention. We've been doing this all week. I'm trying, like I said, to help you. Are you looking for some extra confidence when it's that time, you know, that special time of the night or whenever, when it's time to have fun? Let me tell you about BlueChew.com. BlueChew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable formula at a fraction of the cost. You can't go wrong there. It's an online prescription service. So what that means is no awkward talks with your doctor, and it ships directly to your house in discreet packaging. All you have to do is sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with their licensed medical providers, and once approved, you'll get your prescription in days. And guys, here's a special deal for you. Try BlueChew free when you use our promo code CHASE at checkout. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code CHASE to receive your first month free.
TJ Houshmandzadeh here on Darren Donica Chase, and I started sinking out of my chair when he said that. I didn't like that portion of the interview. I thought it was really good, but that portion of the interview I did not love. And he was referring to, and I don't know who he was talking about, but a friend of his who is a current player who just came off of this injury. And said it took him 8 months to recover. So, not saying that all applies, right? To each his own. Everybody's different. If I'm going to sit here and say Derrick Henry is different and he's elite, because he is, everybody is different. So, I hope, his example is not going to apply here. Because that has been the talk. What is Derrick Henry going to look like? It's none of us are going to know until we see it tomorrow. And what it's going to look like. The Titans, I don't think they even know. I don't think Derrick Henry knows. I think that's what TJ Houshmandzadeh was saying, is his friend felt fine, and then he got out there, and you can't replicate what's going to happen on Saturday in practice, no matter how hard you try, And for whatever reason, it happened again. So hopefully that is not the case, because you can only imagine what the scene will be like at Nissan Stadium if Derrick Henry limps off the field on Saturday. But I don't foresee that, but I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
No, but let me ask this. I mean, we can all have that fear. I mean, we're not playing. We have nothing to do with the game. We just talk about the game. The fans can all have that fear. Derek has said he didn't think about that, which is the exact right answer. Now, you can't tell me that that's 100% true, because he's human. I'm sure it's popped in his head. But if you're the coaching staff, you probably in the back of your mind have that, hey, I hope this, you know, that first play, that first time he makes a cut, you have that fear. But we all know that, you know, whatever phrase you want to use, scared money don't make money. You can't go out there thinking that the first play he's gonna hurt it again. But how do you go about it if you're the coaching staff? Like, is Vrabel just preaching, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it one time? He's out there, he's activated, he's playing. That's how we have to look at it.
I'll just tell you that's it.
This is my two cents on it, okay? I don't agree with you on Derek has to say that, but he's a human being. I know you hear that on this show all the time. We try to paint the picture. Professional athletes are still human beings, folks. They're not robots. But in this case, I don't believe that he's really thinking about it, even privately or on the back of his mind, because I don't think you can. I don't think athletes are wired that way. You think NASCAR drivers, even though they say that, do you really think in the back of their mind every time they get in the car, boy, this could be it, or this could be a really bad day for me, I may end up dead?
When they do, that's when they get out.
That's my point. That is my point, Chase. That's exactly where I'm going. Do every day we get in the car, do you think about that stuff? By the way, there's how many wrecks in this city?
Yeah.
Or how many wrecks on 24 where I live every single day? Do we ever think about that when we drive? No.
No.
Until when?
Until
unfortunately,
happens.
If it happens, right? You get involved in a wreck, and then you're probably in that category. But when we get behind the wheel, we start up the car we're in the car all the time. We're at risk all the time. We don't ever think about that stuff. I don't think athletes do either. And I think Mike Vrabel is head coach now, but he's still going to always have that portion of him that's wired like the former athlete, the guy that played. And I don't believe he thinks like that either. I just don't think you can, especially in football. I just don't think you can think about injuries. I truly believe that.
Well,
I don't believe Derrick Henry is like I'm going to say all the right things, but in the back of my mind,
no.
Oh,
I mean,
boy,
I think
don't
in
know.
his mind, he's trying not to think about it. But you know, I mean, everybody's different. I know I try not to think about stuff all the time, and it still creeps back in. So
yeah,
you know,
I think that is part of being a great player or being great at what you do, is being able to be clear mentally when it's time to play, you know, putting all of that out. Some are better than others at doing that. I think the reality of what TJ said, I think, is that there is increased risk. There is a chance that this injury could reoccur. You know, nobody, it would be a nightmare, but it's possible. It is possible. The risk is there, and the risk will be there next year. Like, if he plays in however many playoff games that the Titans have, I still think he will be at risk next year. There's a chance he will never be the same, you know, but I think you just try to focus on the fact that you've done everything you can do, right? You have the experts that have laid out a program to recover from this injury as fast as possible. I think they've taken their time. I think, honestly, he could have played against Houston. They waited a couple more weeks just to try to be on the safe side. So that's all you can do. I think if you're at peace with that, then whatever ends up happening will happen.
Yeah, and I do agree with that sentiment, that you just have, if he's going to play, you have to go in there with just like any other game before this injury happened. Whatever happens, happens. Because, you know, you got to try. But my whole point is, you know, with him, has that thought creeped in his mind at all? And how is he trying to keep that, you know, stay focused and not think about it? I mean, obviously he's a professional athlete, so there are, yes, they're human, but, you know, we know his training regimen and we know his mindset and how he operates. But I just, you know, that when TJ said that, I did the same thing, Darren. I mean, it was like, uh-oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't
I'm sure
it.
You could find more than one example.
Sure.
I know.
Over
I know.
The years of that happening. And really,
it's just
not
hearing
just
it,
that
right?
injury.
It's just hearing but, it. It's, that's
oh,
where
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
oh.
It's tough.
Like, you know that, right, there are other examples. It's not just that one. But it's like just hearing him say that and somebody he knows that just went through it, I was like, ugh. You know, could you spare that story on this show? Could you go tell that on another show? Go tell that on your podcast.
He could be fine the next few weeks, and then the first game of the season next year, hurt it again. You know, who knows? You never know with anything. But if he's clear and he feels good, then let's go.
And I think you're going to start the game with that feeling. I get that impression anyway. I think. The other thing that jumped out to me that TJ said that I believe 100%, tell me who wins the battle up front on each side of the line of scrimmage, and that will go a long way to telling you who's going to win the game. I think the matchup of the Titans front four, which is decidedly better when you have Bud Dupree in there, going up against the Bengals offensive line is the key matchup in the entire game. In the entire game. If Joe Burrow is able to throw with time, it's going to be a long day. And more specifically, Joe Rexroad pointed this out. Can you get there with the four guys? How often do you have to blitz? Joe Burrow has tremendous numbers against the blitz. The more you blitz, the better he is. So you have to get there with four and have that extra guy in coverage. If you can do that, I think you've got a chance. And I like the Titans front four. And their ability to rush. I think they have a chance for success there.
Do you know how many San Francisco was bringing last weekend?
Four. Did they play the Bengals last weekend?
Four.
No.
That's the point. Like, when you see that, how uncomfortable, all the pre-snap penalties. No, they were just bringing four. It's not like they were bringing the house. You know, when you see how that game unfolded, look how that worked in their favor. Because they were just bringing four. It was their front four most of the time. In fact, they were messing with Dak a lot because it looked they were, you know, presenting like, hey, we're coming, and they didn't, right? Which probably factored into a lot of the pre-snap penalties. But you got to have the quarterback thinking about it. That is a part of this equation, is you have to have the quarterback constantly thinking about what you're doing. Rather than what he wants to do, what he's supposed to do, you got to have a fraction of his thoughts going, what are they doing?
I think the Titans' formula for victory is pretty simple. Do what you've done all year to running games. Pretty much stop them in their tracks. Very few teams have run the ball against the Titans. Do that. Get to the quarterback with four, and I think that's your formula for success. You've got a chance. And that may mean you hold them to 20. You know, the Bengals still might make some plays. They've got guys who they're just really, really good. You're not going to shut them down. But if you can hold them in check, hey, they haven't turned the ball over since week 14, the Bengals. But if you could just get one or two turnovers, man, would that go a long way. In the games that the Titans have lost, they've had the catastrophic number of turnovers, right? They have just turned it over like you wouldn't believe. If you're just even or plus one in turnovers, that's your formula, I think, to slow down the Bengals. I like their chances.
We've been talking about it all week, and finally the breaking news is here.
Yep. I was about to say, can I read it?
We've been saying it. Well, yeah, sure. We've been telling you all week this was going to happen on Friday. Like, and then now we can monitor the line and see this is where the rest of the country goes, oh, and then they start betting on the Titans, and we'll see how far up it goes. But, yeah, the breaking news sounder. It's here. The news is out.
Dun, 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 dun. Elijah's looking for it. There it is. Diana Russini at Diana ESPN, but she credits our man Teron Davenport, and I know he's been working on this. As Teron Davenport reports, the Tennessee Titans will activate running back Derrick Henry for Saturday's AFC divisional round playoff game
back.
Against the Cincinnati Bengals, and he is expected to start when the offense takes the field.
Oh, my gosh. He is going to play. He's going to play.
Yeah. Yep. And Adam Schefter, what do you have to say? That's what I want to know.
Well,
out for the year.
Well, this just in. When you live in that world, you're going to miss some.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as somebody who doesn't get burned in that world. I mean, when you live in the breaking news world, you're going to get burned. I got news for you.
Yeah. So let's have some fun with this. First offensive play from scrimmage. What are you doing? If you're Todd Downing, what are you calling? You just doing a straight handoff, get the crowd going?
I think the first 15 scripted plays should all be Derrick Henry.
Direct snaps and all.
How
yeah,
awesome
just take Tannehill off the field.
Wildcat.
You send a message to the Bengals right out of the gates. He's back. 22 right, 22 left, 22 up the middle, 22 pass, just 22.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. First play, play action, and I'm letting it rip, Tater Chip, going for A.J. Brown down the field. Try and catch him off guard. Yep.
Yeah.
Because everybody and their brother is expecting 22 to get the rock.
The first play of the game. Okay.
Now, you know, if the Bengals are doing their job right, they're going to, you know, scheme for play action too. But that's what I would do. Just run the fake.
I don't think play action is a crazy notion for the first play.
No, right? But letting it rip probably would be. Just going for it.
Really? I don't know. It depends on what you mean. What's your definition of let it rip? Are you talking
like
about
you go
40 yards downfield?
Like if they start, let's say they start for the 20, start from the 25. You're targeting AJ or maybe Julio, but you're probably AJ, and you're just going for it, the home run ball right away.
So the last three, the last time the three of them were in the game at the same time was what, October, right?
Probably.
Or was it?
Okay.
Was A.J. Brown and Julio available in October? Because obviously that's the last. Derrick Henry went down against the Colts, what, on Halloween, right? Well, I don't remember.
Yep, Halloween.
Yeah.
So
I was on the way to Atlanta.
I don't know if Julio was in the game.
Yeah, I know he missed a lot. A.J. missed a lot. So when was the last time three of them?
There's been some games where they had – Brown and or Jones in there, but one of them or both of them didn't finish the game.
Julio
right?
was
played
not,
in the game.
I don't believe Julio was in that game from what I am gathering.
It's even deceiving, I think, to look at whether they even played in the game because sometimes they were non-factors in the game. Right? Julio Jones in one of the Colts games, there's been two games where Julio Jones just didn't come into the game. After about the third quarter.
Well, didn't Julio pull something in Buffalo on Monday night? Because he kind of played the first half.
He wasn't in there on the last couple of drives. He did have a couple of catches in the game early and then kind of faded. But here's the stat, okay?
I got it. I got the game the last time.
The last time there were three. So tell us the game. So the last time they had Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones available. In the same game.
October 24th against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. So it was the weekend and you saw before. What happened. And you saw what the offense looked like that day.
Yep. So
27-3.
Here's a stat line. AJ, 8 catches, 133 yards and a touch. Julio, 2 receptions, 38 yards. One was a 20-yard. That was his longest one. Yeah. It was for 20 yards. And Derek, 29 attempts, 86 yards.
Well, and if you look more specifically, the first half of that game is what the Titans offense, that was the vision of what that offense was supposed to look like before the season. The second half of that game, they were so far ahead, they kind of played the scoreboard. They just kept handing it to Derrick Henry. He actually took a beating in that game. But they were just trying to run the clock out. And the Chiefs had the ball a lot, and they allowed the Chiefs a lot of short passes. Remember, there were some long drives the Chiefs had. And it ended up in turning it over on downs or something. The Titans played great in that game. But I think that was really what this offense can all be about. There's a couple of stats that we've emphasized that are worth bringing back up. The Titans have only had those three guys on the field for about 10.5% of the entire plays, right? They've run over 1,100 plays, and those three have been on the field together for only between 10 and 11% of the plays. So think about what that means, right? Because all three will be available on Saturday. Here's another one just specific to AJ and Julio, okay, that Football Outsiders have. In all of the Titans games, the Titans offense, this goes back to our discussion last hour of collectively, the stats don't look that impressive for 17 games because of all these circumstances. So for the season, the Titans offense ranks 20th in efficiency offensively, 4% below average for the season. When A.J. Brown himself has been in the game, the Titans offense is 3% above average. When A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are together on the field, the Titans are 11% above average, and they rank 8th. Their record in those games, 7-1. That's just A.J. and Julio on the field at the same time. That doesn't even take into account Derrick Henry.
Willie, I left out a very key piece of information from this game, and really it's, I think, the truth of why it went the way it did, Darren. This is for you. It's because Darrington Evans and Josh Reynolds were in the game too.
Mm.
So they had them.
We didn't factor that in.
Yeah, I mean, that was big. I mean,
Darrington Evans has ever been on the field.
He
was on the field that game.
He had a 5-yard rush on that.
He did
in that game. And Josh Reynolds, 3 catches for 23 yards.
There you go.
It's big.
There you go. Steve in California has a prediction on the first play.
Morning,
Steve,
guys.
Welcome in.
It's great. I'm excited about the Predators' win last night. I'm excited about the Titans, and I'm going to tell you what the first play of the scrimmage is going to be tomorrow. Derrick Henry to the house. That's what I know.
He just breaks it.
You're calling it.
I'm calling it, and if he does it, I'll call in Monday.
Okay. That's a deal.
Hmm.
Thanks for the call, and thanks
I'm
for listening
excited.
Out in California. Appreciate it.
He's just going to bust one.
Goodness.
If that happens, Nissan Stadium will feel like Adelphia Coliseum in January of 2000.
They will have to
It'll feel like the Music City Miracle again.
They will have to repaint the light poles because they will just the paint will just be taken off.
That stadium will be bouncing down the road. That happens.
Willie will have to spend the offseason giving us light pole reports.
Yep, I'll drive by every day. It is fading a little bit, the paint job. That's been 5 or 6 years since we had that discussion. So might be time to re-up it anyway in the offseason.
Derrick Henry to the house.
What? I bet you there's prop bets you could get. It'd be funny. Will Derrick Henry get the ball on the first play?
I bet you're right.
Got to be 50-50, right?
People on our text line,
it's going to be them.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, are buying into the play action bomb. But one thing that's interesting is Adam in Portland, I think it was Adam in Portland, said first play action bomb to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. He'll be open just like Khalif Raymond was against Baltimore.
Well, okay. Here's a point. Here is something that has been brought up, and it's a detail, but this goes into my thing that I've been telling you guys for a couple weeks, and I will lay it out there again. Key catches at key times for Julio. One of the adjustments they made that helped, I think, at least in theory, against Houston, they moved him to the slot, and they kept Nick Westbrook-Ikhina on the outside. So that means less plays for Chester Rogers, who's been more the slot guy all season. When Julio's been in, he's been on the outside. But they move Julio to the slot. That's something to look for to see if that continues on Saturday. But I do think that Julio Jones is in the position. I know everybody asks, what do you expect? It's hard to know. But I haven't changed my thinking from before. I think key catches at key times for Julio. But look for him to be in the slot. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, that might open up more playing time for him. So he could make a key catcher too. But
Chase,
to me, it all starts with A.J. Brown.
I bet you're going to tell everybody about MGM.
You bet correctly, my friend. I sure am, because BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on, you guessed it, the Pro Football Playoff. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game this weekend, and if either team scores a touchdown in that game, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy the playoffs like never before and earn M Life rewards that you can use for rooms and dining at any MGM resort nationwide. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a touchdown is scored in a Pro Football Playoff game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Don't forget about our pregame show tomorrow. Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Pregame show is Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who says the Titans are going to pitch the shutout on the Bengals. Boy, is he going to get the last laugh if that's right. I hope he is right.
I hope he's right. That would be fantastic. That would make up for his bad picking.
Would it? You talk about for silly underdogs?
Yeah, I think so.
I would say you would get definitely triple points if you call that and it actually played out. Even though our contest.
Would you relinquish your title and give it to him?
Okay. No, I wouldn't. I would not. You cannot put that body of work together and then relinquish. No, sorry.
I agree.
That'll be from 1 until 3 p.m. tomorrow. Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House at 1003 Russell Street. So if you're looking for a place to hang, that is it. Pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Tomorrow is going to be nuts, right? Tomorrow downtown is going to be crazy all day and all night.
Do you think we can find out? I'd love to know if anybody's listening, how many people are going to both games?
Yeah, Skillsy was asking me that last week. He goes, do you think people will do both? I said, absolutely.
I think a lot of people will, but I'd love to know.
He was like, how many? I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Like, is it a few? Is it a bunch? I don't know. But I definitely people will do it.
Do you think somebody would call in right now and say, okay, this is my plan. I'm going to both. Or send us a text on the text line here. I'd love to know just randomly, if you're listening right now, if you're planning on going to both, I'd just love to know it. Because I think I'm – They're moving the game back to the Predator. If nobody was going to do it, then there would be no reason to move the game back
right.
30 minutes. But I think they know that there's
of course
a certain amount of people that are going to do both.
It's the right thing to do. I thought there was a chance it could start at 8. I mean, I really thought – I mean, I was not surprised that they moved it at all. So
in 2008, when they hosted the Ravens, the Preds played that night at Bridgestone Arena also. And I didn't go to the Titans game. I had a buddy that went to the Titans game and then met me at the Preds game. But they opened the doors to Bridgestone Arena early so you could get in there and watch the game on the big screen.
Yep.
Which I haven't heard. I don't know if they're doing that again or not.
Once again, without knowing, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't think that's far-fetched to think.
I don't know if I don't know if I've heard one way or the other if they're putting it on the Jumbotron. They have done that. For some games in the past, not playoff games, but in Bridgestone Arena, there's any number of places you could come in and watch the game, whether it be the Patron Platinum Club or just the TVs on the concourse or the various places you can eat and hang out. So that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, we got news last night that, remember I told you, because you told us that Mahoney had a basketball game at 4:30. I told you Maddox has a game at 4:00. His coach won't be there, and the other team's coach will not be there either.
Oh no!
Do you know why?
Are they going to the Titans game?
Yeah, they have to.
They're skipping a game.
Yes.
To go to the Titans game.
Yes.
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I would
leaving your
would
team high and dry.
Yeah, sorry.
That's a disqualifier.
I get the memo. I mean, come on. It's the divisional playoffs. Like, do it earlier in the day. You know, I applaud.
Now, I'm all for that. If you're in a league and you can mutually agree to move your game, that That's a smart,
yeah.
That's
a smart decision. I applaud MTSU and I applaud the Preds because they have moved their games.
MTSU has moved. Yep. Early
because, the Preds pushed back and MTSU moved up, and they did that because of the playoff game.
So here's a question. So I was talking about this last night because I said it in pregame, and I asked Ladarius. I go, you know, I said moved back, and then I was like, or is it move forward? What is the correct terminology? If you go from, let's say, 7 to 7:30, are you moving it back?
Yeah.
You're moving it back?
You're moving it back.
Yeah, you're pushing the start time back.
But I know, but then I was like in my head going, but you're kind of like, you're pushing it forward 30 minutes.
No.
Later.
If you're
okay.
No, no.
I'm just
you're
trying
pushing
to,
it back.
Okay. You're pushing
if you're
back.
If you're moving it up, then
MTSU,
you're
– MTSU – they moved up from what, like 3 to 1, something like that?
I think it was 4 or something.
But I know they're, what, tipping at 1?
Correct.
So they moved it up.
Yes.
Moved it forward or up?
They moved it up.
Moved it up, okay. I know, I don't know why I'm confused. Like last night when I said it right, but then I started questioning, did I say it right? So the Predators moved it back. And MTSU basketball moved it up.
Yes. Everybody gets it, apparently, except for you, Darren. Yeah.
I'm trying to talk myself into making sense in my head.
But we're wasting valuable time while you do this in your head on the air.
And I do have it. I have gotten the information. As we segue from this, the Preds' doors will open at 5 tomorrow.
Okay. You had a text you said you wanted to read.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you forgot to read it.
Well, anybody
set me up for it.
So has anybody texted and saying they're going to both games?
We had a text that said, if you give me tickets to both games, I'll go to both.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's,
sorry about that. I can't help you there.
No, as I walk off, Keith with the text of the year, Chase went from PD to ED in just a few days. Impressive.
Wow. but you're fixed now. Everything's fine.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Thank
and by
you,
the
Keith.
Way, the GIFs that come on Twitter every time you do that spot are just spectacular.
They are. I'm glad I've brought entertainment. It's, you know.
Okay. So what are we going to do about? So I guess you're going to have to pick. We got pick 6 in the final hour.
Will submit them electronically.
Okay. All right.
So
we'll come back with. You just made the list. We'll start the third hour with that. We'll do that next.